2 Timothy chapter 4, a very, very familiar piece of scripture here, and sometimes I hear it so often that you might feel like you're getting beaten up with it, but I think Paul, as he's telling Timothy here, I think Paul had a concern for the churches. He had a concern for young Timothy as he's going to start out in his ministry and start being a pastor, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. It says, preach the word, Paul tells Timothy, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is what I want you to look at. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I do pray for Pastor Brown, Lord, and Mrs. Brown, as they are in Illinois this evening. Lord, just use them in a mighty way in the King James Bibles that they're presenting. Father, and I pray that you'd be with me. I pray that you'd give me calmness of heart. I pray those things that that you have laid on my heart, Lord, that I can clearly, Lord, clearly with a clear voice, just relay that message to the congregation here tonight. I'm thankful for those who have come out. Lord, we know that we do compete, Lord, against the wicked things of the world. We compete against the world, Lord, in attendance in your word and just in our daily lives, Lord. So I just pray that you give me the grace this evening. We just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think in 2 Timothy, Paul tells them there is a valid concern, and I think we need to have a valid concern. I think if you hear the messages that are being preached, there is a valid concern for the churches in general. There's a valid concern for the competition of the world. And I just want to say, you know, I usually don't sit up here on a Sunday night, so I don't know what the congregation looks like on a Sunday night. I don't know how full the pews get. But I'll tell you what, today was the first day of opening season for the Green Bay Packers. I don't know if they win. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if they won or not tonight, but praise the Lord that you're here this evening. But we do have a competition with the world as they display some of these things on a Sunday. We have a valid concern for pastors and teachers, as Paul says, with itching ears. Do we have a valid concern for the proper teaching of God's word? Do we have a valid concern for the lost, for a lost and dying world, for the unsaved world? And do we have a valid concern for sharing the word of God? I'm not going to hit on all of these points, but I will hit on a couple of them. Jude 1:3 says, it was needful. Jude writes, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, that you should seriously, that you should sincerely contend for the faith which was once delivered to the faith. The valid concern of our church is our congregation. And this won't be a long message, so you will get out of here a little early tonight, I believe. Pastor Brown mentioned this morning the number of Baptist churches in Wisconsin that have shut their doors for one reason or another and are now ineffective. That's a valid concern. It's a valid concern that one day our church, First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, one day could succumb and compromise to the world's philosophy. There are many independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches that no longer earnestly contend for the faith like they used to. They're doing their own thing. They're compromising their positions or stands on the Word of God following worldly standards. And I believe we should have a valid concern about our church. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel. Paul wrote to the Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I spoke something similar to this on a Wednesday night. If Pastor Darrell already just retired, Pastor Brown's looking to retire. Pastor Brown hears a report of our church 1 year after they have left. Would this be something that they would echo from the letter? I marvel. I cannot believe where you guys, all those years of preaching, pastor's been preaching from this pulpit 30-some years plus. I marvel. Did I not teach you from the scriptures? Did I not tell you the word of God? Did I not share with you? Did I not warn you? I marvel. I'm amazed. I can't believe it. I was blessed with a visitor that came a couple months ago. And he said, you know what? He hasn't been at our church in probably 4 or 5 years. He's moved out of state. But he said, you know what? It's so nice to come back to a church and to see everybody still faithful, ministering and serving the Lord. It's still good to see the preaching of the word going on in the pulpit. It's so good to see you still singing from the hymnals and singing the good old traditional hymns. That blessed my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. It seems like we're going on the right path. Seems like we're going on the right direction. 2 Peter 3:17. Let's turn there real quick. 2 Peter 3:17. But it is a concern. 2 Peter 3:17. Peter writes, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. I look around here and I see a lot of good brothers and sisters in the Lord. I see men who love sharing the gospel with other brothers. And amen for that. And I pray that you just keep on keeping on. But can our church go in that direction? Can our church, can this body of believers, and when I say church, I'm speaking of this body of believers. Do you ever think that this body of believers could go in that direction? I believe we could. I believe we could, but only if we allow it to. Only if we allow it to. I would never want to be so proud to say that, no, we'll never do that. We'll never go in that direction. We'll never fall to the false preaching of the heretics that are out there now. Never means not at all. Means by no means, means in no way. In no way will our church ever go that way. And with that attitude, that will never happen to our church. I think that's prideful. I think it's prideful to think that we could never go that direction. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We'll never do that. I've told Pastor before, you know what, I'll never, as long as I'm here too, I'll never let it go that, you know what, I better be careful. Because we don't know what the future holds. But listen to me. It's nice to want it that way. It's nice to want it that way, and it's possible to keep it that way, the way we're going now. And let's pray to that end. Let's pray to that end. But don't think it can never happen to us. It's always a valid concern, and I've heard it from pastor coming from the pulpit. It's a valid concern. And just like Paul was warning Timothy, it's a valid concern. The only time I like the word never is when the Bible talks about it in the positive. I remember my daughters or maybe my wife would even say never. Or even some of the guys at work would say never. I would never. Really? You'd never? Think about what never means. Really. And I don't even care for the word except in the positive when God brings it to us. And for example, John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 11, 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believest thou this? I do. We're out Wednesday night. We're out Thursday night visiting. And there was a guy we witnessed to. He was an apostolic Pentecostal. Neil and I, and he, and obviously they believe that they can lose their salvation. You can lose your salvation. So I'm trying to tell them, really, how, really? Neil shared with him John 3:16. What does everlasting mean then? What does everlasting mean? And I tried to tell him, I said, listen, if I'm sitting here witnessing to you or to another guy, and he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he repents of his sins right there, is he saved? He says, only God knows. He says, you have to be saved by baptism. See, it's by baptism and repentance. And he took me to Acts chapter, I think it was Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it kind of says that. Unless you do a word study, it can cause you to stumble a little bit. And one of my brothers helped me this morning with a piece of scripture to help me with that. But baptism and repentance? Wait a minute, that makes it works then, doesn't it? If I got to get baptized to get saved, that makes it works. That's wrong. But he said, no, we don't know, only God knows. Well, you're right, only God knows, but if I repented of my sin, if I fully trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior, I shall never perish. I shall never perish. There's a valid concern of our churches competing with the world. I kind of shared this a little earlier. And I think there is a valid concern. I think of the Super Bowl Sundays. It's going to come up again in January or February, whenever it comes. It's always nice to see who's all here on a Sunday night and who, you know, what churches, you know, maybe this year pastor will have pulled down the screen and maybe we'll show it on the, you know, just maybe a... Hey, deacon, can you talk to pastor and see maybe if we can, you know, we don't want to miss it. There's a concern. There's a competition. There are churches that actually do that, and that's I think that's sad. You're compromising the Word of God. You're compromising the Word of God for the world. And there's other activities at the church that we're always competing for on a Sunday. Come on, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let's come together. Let's fellowship like brothers and sisters in the Lord should. James 4:4. Let's turn to James 4:4. James 4, chapter 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The world will always try to destroy the influence of the truth. There will always be something competing for your spare time on a Sunday. There are sometimes I just don't want to come in on a Sunday. Maybe I could just cut my grass or do something else. Not really. I love being here among the brothers and sisters. There's nothing I'd rather do on a Sunday than do that. I've been doing it for 14 and a half years. There is nothing I'd rather be doing on a Sunday than this. It's so instilled in my nature. I love being here. I love being here. I love being among the brothers. I'm in the world 6 days out of the week. Why do I want to be here? Why do you see me at the fellowships, maybe at the picnic or coming up the Alpha Women's Center banquet? Be here. You're amongst brothers and sisters in the Lord. Fellowship. You know, I think of even, you know what? And I trust me, I'm trying to be nice here. But I think of even like a Thursday night visitation. Talking about taking a spiritual temperature of your church. Congregation of 265, maybe 50, 60, I don't know, on a Sunday morning. Take a spiritual temperature check. On a Thursday night, there is an average of maybe 8 to 10 people on visitation. We have all kinds of excuses. I've got them all. I used to call Pastor Darrell when I'd miss. Pastor Darrell, I've got some homework I've got to do. I won't be there tonight. I feel bad. Ask my wife. I'm beating myself up over it. And I do. It's a legitimate, and I know there are legitimate concerns. You know, oh, not the Thursday night thing. Not the visitation thing. Come on. Really? 8 to 10 men out there. And one or two women. Praise the Lord. Where's everybody else? J- Just go hang it. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just go out there and hang it on the door. Hang it on the door. Get chased by a dog one door, hang it on the next door. You just get it faster that way, that's all. There's dogs out there. Ask Brother Brian, he's getting dogs everywhere in Oak Creek. A good thing I'm working in an apartment complex where they're not allowed to have dogs over there, brother. But the world's always trying to compete for us, for our time from God's word. Matthew 13:22, he says, he also that received. It's kind of like the man who sowed seeds among the thorns. Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. What are the cares of this world? Well, you know, and I'll use the Green Bay Packers for example. I love football. I love watching the Green Bay Packers. I caught 5 minutes of them before we left. I listened to them on the radio, but I'm not going to allow that to interfere with my worship here on a Sunday night, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's any other kind of activity that's going on. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. It's going to choke the word. If you're not here amongst brothers and sisters, it'll choke the word out of you, and you'll become unfruitful. How about 1 John 2:15? Love not the world. 1 John 2:15. You know, let's turn her. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's not wrong to love the Packers. It's not love to wrong those. I'm not going to say love. It's not wrong to like those things or enjoy that for entertainment. But don't let it allow you to be here in the house of God when you should be here. A real quick example here. We used to have a ministry at Mount Carmel. A nursing home ministry. And Brian Guthrie had told me, you're preaching. We used to switch off every other week. But it just so happened that week, my wife won some Wisconsin Badger football tickets from her bank. We didn't play the lottery or anything like that. The bank, she wanted something at her work. But some Wisconsin Badger, it was all expense paid, skybox seats, all the food, anything you wanted to drink. Obviously, I would water or soda or pop or whatever. But everything you could drink, everything paid for. I was like, wow. Wow. Let's see. Preaching at Mount Carmel. Badger game. Took me one moment to say, let's go. We're going to the Badger game. Let's go. Come on. No, it really literally took me less than a moment to even, can't go. Once in a lifetime opportunity, she wins some tickets, all expense paid. Praise the Lord. Oh, we must be lucky or something. I don't believe in luck, but praise the Lord. But I said, nope, I'm not allowing that. If I want God to work in my life, I want to be used of God, I'm gonna preach it. I'm going to preach it. I could pastor. When pastor called me up last night and said, you're preaching tomorrow night, I said, okay. He didn't say that. He gave me plenty of time. It's me that's not prepared. But nonetheless, no, I wouldn't give up this opportunity. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Look at you guys looking at me like, man. It don't matter. My wife is meaner than any one of you guys. I don't. But I wouldn't give up the opportunity. I don't want to give up the temporal for the eternal. And I like being used of God that way. Even just like serving, ministering songs in the morning. I was going to lead the evening songs, and Brian was leading the morning songs. Pastor ended up switching it around. You're leading the morning songs. He's leading the evening song. Okay. That's where you want me to serve. That's where you want me to be on Sunday. Okay. That's where I'll be. Valid concerns. How about valid concerns of men pleasers filling the pulpit? Men pleasers filling the pulpit. Paul writes to Timothy in verse 3 there in chapter 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." What's a man pleaser? John chapter 12, verse 43. John chapter 12, verse 43, speaking of the chief rulers. Speaking of the chief rulers, you can use this maybe even at your workplace. John chapter 12, verse 43 says, 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him." They believed on Jesus Christ, many of the chief rulers, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." A lot of times you don't want to be witnessing at work because it's not appropriate or it's not right or the time is not just right. I'll tell you what, when I go into coaching sessions with my manager, there's coaching sessions, we have coaching sessions every other week, I take that opportunity to share the gospel, whether he likes it or not. And it's come to the point where he brings it up now. He talks about the rapture. He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he brings it up. It's like he almost wants to hear about it. I don't shove it down his throat, but I bring it up. And it's become just a part of that. But men pleasers, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I thank the Lord that what comes from this pulpit is not always what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. And I have to confess, you know, he talks about, and as I'm reading this, "they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I do have itching ears. And you should have itching ears too. And I think of the itching ears, my ears itch for the pure, uncontaminated, untainted, Holy Spirit convicting word of God. When pastor preaches, and I just want to tell you, you know what? The older I get, the more emotional I seem to get. When Pastor Darrell was leaving, I just wanted to bawl. I just wanted to cry like a baby. I'm like, we sang one of the songs up here, and I had to stop singing for a minute. I just had to keep my composure. I'm like, okay. You know, and I think when I came up here and I gave them the plaque, you just got to speak a little louder, and then you're not so nervous all the time. But I'm sitting up here, and he's talking about the church, and he's talking about whatever, and I'm crying, I'm weeping. I'm like, man, you're right on. That is a concern. And he preaches, and that word just digs deep into the soul of the joints and the marrows of your spirit, and it just, wow, it's amazing. And it's like every Sunday I'm leaving here just convicted or just, man, that was a, and I tell my, wasn't that a good message? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what, Tim, not to take anything away from Pastor Brown, but praise the Lord for your message this morning. I'm looking forward to Sunday school. I'm looking forward to Sunday school. You're doing an excellent job, and I think we just found our Sunday school teacher until we get an assistant pastor. Praise the Lord. But that's what my ears itch for. Good, solid Bible preaching, not from some watered-down version of the Word of God, but the good, solid King James version of the Word. I have fellowship with some guys at work. I'm fortunate that there's a lot of guys around me that are Christians as well. Not of the same flavor, but they'll come over and they'll bring their Bible with me and they'll start quoting a verse. I said, where's that from? And I know the verse, sort of, but I'm like, where's that from? Oh, right, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, right here. Read it. I'm like, wow. I have to pull up my version or pull out my Bible, and I have to, okay, I see now. You know, I can hardly understand another version. And I'm sorry, if you're using another version here, that's your own preference, but I'm so indoctrinated with the King James Version that it just becomes part of you. But that's how I got saved. That's probably how many of you got saved, the convicting preaching of the Word of God. I mean, when pastor's preaching and he's up here and he's looking over here and he's preaching way over here, but I feel like he's preaching to me right here. Wait a minute, how does he know what I've done? How does he know what I'm like? Who is he to tell me? It's not him. It's God using him through the word. Praise the Lord. And if you're not getting convicted, you need to examine yourselves, really. That's how I got saved. Even when we go out on visitation, we get the chance to actually witness to, when you actually get to witness to some of the people, you know, I think sometimes they're looking for a church that, you know, has a rock and roll band and entertainment and the whole nine yards. But, you know, I tell them, and we've told them, listen, we're a traditional church. We preach from the King James Version as it should be. Not the way we think it should be, but the way God wanted it to be. I tell them, we sing traditional hymns. We sing Amazing Grace. We sing Victory in Jesus. We sing Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. I'm not embarrassed to tell them that. Hey, we've got classes for all ages. Sometimes they got kids running around. Hey, we've got kids. We've got classes for those kids too. But I'm not ashamed. We don't have classes for their dogs, but, you know, maybe one day we'll have. We're not looking for friendship with the world. And I often think, if we told these people what kind of church we are, what would they think? Would we fill the pews if we were actually that kind of church? I think a lot of churches feel that way. We're not a community church that goes out. We don't go out into the community to find out what people want in a church. We go out into the community to tell them what kind of church we are. What kind of church we are. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." There's a valid concern for men pleasers in the pulpit. I think there's a valid concern of the way some churches teach or think. And I want to share with you, let's turn to Ezekiel 18 real quick. Ezekiel 18. And I just want to tell you, I love reading through the Old Testament. The Old Testament is great. And a lot of times I just got reading through going to go Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, but I just got reading through all of those prophets, and you know what? Every time I read them, the way I keep it interesting is I think of what's going on in our world. I try to compare it with the USA or our church versus Israel, and I try to parallel them together, and that really keeps it interesting. It really keeps you focused. But Ezekiel 18:23, and when I was reading this, I was thinking of churches in general. Or people in general, or things that people teach in general in churches. Ezekiel 28:13. Or Ezekiel 18, sorry. Ezekiel 18. Says, and this is God speaking to Ezekiel, telling him to tell the people of Israel. He says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous, now listen, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live?" He says, "All his righteousnesses that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? And are not your ways equal, unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness, when a wicked man repenteth of his sins, when he turneth away that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, He shall surely live. He shall not die. Does that make sense? If I repented of my sins, I shall live. If I turn from my righteousness and commit sin and iniquity, I should die. But the people of Israel said, no, God, you're wrong. That's not right. That's not right. He says, yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. The way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. There's churches that teach that. There are churches that, you got to understand, God is love, and we know preachers that do teach that. God is love. It's a sugar-coated gospel, and God is love, and he wouldn't send anybody to hell, and definitely he wouldn't send anybody to hell for eternity. You don't understand. See, God is love. God is right. God is just. God is truth. Yeah, he won't send you. You send yourself. You send yourself. He has no pleasure in the death. He has no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. That's why he gives you that opportunity to turn from your wicked ways. And I just look at Israel and just, if you read through Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel, I mean, the powerful books, great books. I mean, praise the Lord. And if you parallel them together with America or even the churches today, it just brings it to real life. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There is a valid concern of our churches. Just like Paul's concern for young Timothy and him starting in his ministry, I think we have a concern for maybe an assistant pastor who starts a ministry here, or Pastor Brown when he moves off the scene, if he retires, I think we have a concern. We should have a concern. You know, the older I get in my Christian life, and I want to share this last thing here. this is kind of out of the context a little bit. The older I get in my Christian life, and I'm only 14 and a half years old in the Lord, and I praise him for every minute of it. But I see the warning of 1 Peter 5:8. The warning of 1 Peter 5:8 becomes clear. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As young as I am in my Christian walk, I have seen brothers and sisters fall by the wayside. I've seen some backslide, and I've seen some come back to the Lord. I've seen some backslide and some not come back to the Lord. But in my life, there have been three men. I won't name names, but there have been three men that make this verse come alive like never before. Satan walketh around like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Three men that I know that have been an example in my life, that I've looked up to, that I've learned from, that they've kind of sometimes taken me under their wing and shared with me, that have gotten, that's a word, gotten, devoured by Satan. That's a valid concern. Not just ordinary men. Men of high standing. Men who you're, you know, amen, praise the Lord for guys like you, because I want to fashion myself after somebody like you. I want to fashion myself after maybe somebody like Pastor Darrell or Pastor Brown Or somebody else who you know just stands strong and you want to fashion yourselves maybe after somebody. Fashion yourself after the Word of God. But I've never before this verse come out like it has recently. Seeking whom he may devour. He's totally destroyed and totally annihilated three families that I know of. And it's sad. And it saddens my heart. And you know what? If we're not aware of who our enemy is, he'll devour you. If you're not aware of who he is, he will devour you. We need to pray for our churches. You know, I would definitely love to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, after that song, Heaven Came Down, I'd love to talk about the rapture. But you know what? We have a concern today. We have a concern in our churches today. We have a concern for the next coming. I think we've got one or two assistant pastors that we're looking possibly to interview. But we need to pray for the churches that have fallen. We need to pray for the pastors who have allowed the worldly pressures, the worldly members to control the direction of the church. I'm glad Pastor's got some backbone. Pastor Brown has a very strong backbone, and praise the Lord for that. We need to pray. We need to be on our knees that our church, that this assembly of believers, this congregation, would not allow that to happen. We need to pray that we would take a stand and not accept any other doctrine. That we would not accept any other doctrine than that which was once delivered to the saints to be taught, to be preached from this pulpit. No other doctrine. That which was once delivered to the saints. God's word and God's prayer are the most powerful weapon in the church's arsenal. God's word and prayer of the saints, the most powerful. Satan can't stand against that. And that's what we need. We need to pray for this body of believers. We need to pray for this church, this assembly. We need to pray for this congregation that we would not fall like so many churches have fallen before. But let's not do it in pride. Let's just make sure we're praying for it. On our knees, let's pray.